Let's pray.
Father, we come to you today. We want to worship you today. We want to learn about you. We want to learn from you about you, God. Just pray that you would anoint my lips today, that your word would go forth. If there's any ideas that are my own, that you would stop them before that even happens, Father. Just help us all to listen and to hear your voice this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a subject that I have been thinking about for a long time. And I have some handouts. If you want to just go ahead and start those a while, you may. It's a subject that is way too much to even cover in a devotional. I actually, a couple years ago, at the church we were going to prior to this, I had actually had a number of messages on the subject. And so I'm just going to scratch the surface just a little bit this morning as that series. I was blessed this morning. I gave these handouts, and one of them, the handouts, was meant to the one leading singing, but I really doubt that he had time to adjust his song service accordingly. But the first song we sang was Holy, 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 which the Trinity is mentioned all through that. And the very last song we sang says, O Christ, our God upon the throne, we praise the Father and the Son, we praise the Holy Ghost the same. O come, thine own blessed kingdom claim. I'm like, wow, I couldn't have asked for a better song to end with there. So, yes, I sort of jumped ahead there a little bit, but yeah, I couldn't help but notice the songs there. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to all the visitors. It's good to be here. It's good to see the house full. And I just this week, I was looking across different things here and studying and trying to pull something together here. And I was looking, and I actually looked at the word doctrine for a little bit. And I know doctrine isn't usually something we would cover in a devotional, and I'll try to remind the time. And yes, doctrine, by definition, it's a fundamental principle that is taught. And the word originates from the Latin word doctor, and which doctor and teacher, kind of the same word there, doctor or teacher. So by its own definition, doctrine is something that we teach. And yet, this is a subject that I have never heard anyone other than myself in the series that I had shared a while ago heard taught on. It's scattered through our songbooks. We seem to sing about it a fair amount, and we'll mention it here and there, but we never really, really talk about it. I think one time at Harmony years ago, I remembered a Bible study many years ago, back when we were meeting in Lebanon. And maybe my mind's forgetting something. Maybe it's been talked about since then, but I just don't really hear it formally talked about. So the title of my devotional is An Overview of the Trinity. And yes, I gave you a handout because I'm not quite sure that I'm going to go down through all these references and actually look them all up. If you want to go home and look at it some more, you're welcome to do that. I would encourage you to do that. And because I think it's a very important subject. I have seven points there I want to bring out here. And then I sort of have a bonus lesson or a bonus there at the end, kind of to show us why it's so important and to sort of bring some of this to life. So number one, who believes in the Trinity? The Catholics do, the Eastern Orthodox, Oriental Orthodox, most Protestant churches, Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Lutherans, most Pentecostal churches would believe in the Trinity. Who does not believe in the Trinity? Unitarians, Christians believing in only one God, our Father. The Jews hang on to the scripture, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Mormons, they believe there's three distinct persons. Jesus is literally the Son of the Father. He has created. He is a created being. He has a start, according to the Mormons. Jehovah's Witness, Jesus is not part of the Godhead. Spirit is just an active force of the Father, but not really a separate entity or being or of any sort. The Muslims believe in, and I know they're not really Christians, but I've put them in there because they're an interesting religion, and their ties do tie back to Abraham, to Ishmael. There is a unique closeness, I think, to Muslims and Christians, and some of our beginnings are at. We do both root back to Abraham. So anyway, Muslims believe in an absolute oneness. Jesus was a prophet. The Holy Spirit is the angel Gabriel. Because they believe in one God, and we believe in three gods, they feel that they have a superior religion. Basically, we have three gods to equal their one. So their one God is better than our three gods. Question is, do they have a point? A Google search on it, I thought I just Googled it. Do who believes in one God? Who believes in three gods? And then I Googled, do Anabaptists believe in one God? According to Google, Anabaptists are confused on it. There's mixed feelings on it. I'm not sure how accurate Google is with Anabaptists. For whatever it's worth, according to my Google search, we're confused. It's different depending which church you would go to and ask. Are they right? I'm not entirely sure. But maybe we haven't been teaching on it like we should be. If it's doctrine, why aren't we teaching it? Number three, why is it important? Well, I've heard it simply makes the Bible easier to understand. That's what my understanding was growing up. Well, it just makes it easier. Okay. And if that's really what we think, then maybe that's why we don't actually teach a lot about it. Next point. Anything other than truth is false. So we don't want to teach something false, so let's make sure we're teaching the truth. Okay. But what does it matter? Unitarians invariably deny that Jesus is God. That's why I think it's the big important, I'd say this is the clincher. This is the one where we really start to divide. John 6:38 says, I do the will of my Father. That was Jesus' words. I do the will of my Father. So the Father is God, and Jesus is just another person that's come to do the will like we do God's will. Jesus is not God because he's doing the will of somebody else, so he cannot be part of the Godhead. Matthew 24:36-37. Only the Father knows when I'm coming back. Jesus doesn't know everything. He cannot be God. According to the Unitarian view, those are two of their ones they'll hang on to pretty hard. And I'm not sure that I'm really going to dive into that at all today. I'm just, again, I'm scratching the surface. But this makes Jesus' blood of little value. It distances us from God. God isn't somebody that can understand or know what I'm feeling. God is just out there, and I'm down here, and we can't connect. In fact, how do I know he really loves me if he just created something to die for my sins? If that's even possible, what love is that? What love is that? There's definitely a big gap that starts to distance us from God. I question whether salvation is even possible, but there is a huge gap between us and God if Jesus is not God. And yet, that is a very real belief out there. I've actually had most of my stuff written up here and thought out, and then I went to Google and to YouTube and started looking up to try to find, to try to debunk my own theories. And I was actually shocked. I spent a couple days this week sort of wading through stuff that, it's tough. There's actually a lot of people out there that really argue this theory. Number four, the Lord our God is one Lord. Right from the Bible. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Jesus is one. No, God is one. God is one. First point I want to make, God is one God. There is not three gods. There is one God. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God. Singular. Isaiah 43:10. I might turn to that one. Isaiah 43:10. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. One God. But in contrast to that, or in connection to that, I move on to point five. There is three in one. Genesis 1:26. Right in the beginning of the Bible, we have our first maybe a little light shining on this subject. Genesis 1:26, and God said, let us make man. God, singular, said, let us, plural, make man in our, plural, image, after our, plural, likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. There's singular, plural, used in the same sentence describing God. Still don't have a good picture of what's going on, but we recognize something is. Genesis, I'm just going to just flip to Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. And this was an eye-opener to me, actually, just this week. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him. This God that we were made in his likeness before there's sin on this earth. So that wasn't the problem. This God that we were made in his likeness said it's not good that man be alone and made it helpmeet for him. Interesting thought that we're made in the likeness of God, but we're not good by ourselves. And so many times I've in a simple term of Trinity I've heard and used myself of an egg You got the shell, you have the white, and you have the yolk, and together they're an egg, and God is a three in one, just as an egg is three in one. I've heard of apple. An apple, you have the core, you have the flesh of the apple, and then you have the skin, the outer of the apple, and yet it's all apple. The picture I have at this point of God is of a marriage, actually. We were made in the image of God. And so when someone comes to the marriage altar, there's two people that come up, and the minister announces them Mr. and Mrs., in my case, Derek Bross. They don't say Derek Brosses or Derek's. Mr. and Mrs. Derek Bross. One person, there's two come up, there's one person that goes down. And I actually was up in Pottsville last Sunday, and heard Raymond. Hopefully, I didn't ask your permission. Hopefully, I can use you just a little bit here. And I understand, Raymond's not, and I'm sure he would admit, he's not a perfect picture of this at all. So Raymond and Mary became one. And then they have children. And Raymond was sharing in his devotional how he had struggled as a young Christian whether he should go, whether God would have ever sent him to Africa. And I thought that's very interesting. And I actually was thinking about this devotional as he was sharing. And he's battled with that. And he finally allowed himself, yes, God, if you want to send me to Africa, I'll go to Africa. God never sent him to Africa, but he sent Raymond's son. Do you see where I'm going with this? We have Raymond and Mary, two becoming one. We have Raymond having, the two of them having children. And in a sense, Raymond's spirit, in a sense, is in Africa. I've sensed that. I've known Raymond before Tim even went to Africa. And Raymond always had a spirit about him that was interested in missions. And obviously God was doing something in his life back with this whole Africa thing and battling a lot out. And now his son's in Africa. And I see a picture there. Sure, it's not a perfect picture, but it is a picture, I think, of God, three in one, where we have Raymond's Isaac is not in Africa, but there is a part of him that's in Africa. I think you know what I mean by that. Jesus is part of the Godhead. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Take a moment when you go home and look that one up and read the first, I think, 14 verses of that chapter. And that is the Word, capital Word, was Jesus. There's no doubt about it. Till you read through the first chapter of John, you cannot deny that they're talking about Jesus. And Jesus was in the beginning, and he was with God, and he was God. There's no doubt. You can't unpack that chapter any differently. In John 8, Jesus' words, "Before Abraham was, I am." That was what Jesus said. He pre-existed before coming to earth. And the Jews hated him for it. They got it. They understood what he meant. And they immediately tried to stone him. In Isaiah, he's prophesied as Emmanuel, God with us. And Matthew 1, 22 and 23 speaks of the fulfillment of that prophecy. God with us. 1 Timothy talks about the mystery of God being manifest, which means displayed in flesh. Number 7, the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead. Matthew 28:20, the last thing that Jesus says before he leaves, "I am with you always." Strange things to say from someone that's leaving you. I'm with you always. How is he with us always? His Spirit is here. The Holy Spirit is here. Part of the Godhead is here. John 16:7, "It's better I go away." And he talks about the Comforter coming. Now, if Jesus is part of the Godhead, and we've already determined that, then how can it be better for the Holy Spirit to live in me than God to be with me? It must be part of the Godhead. To be better, it has to be part of the Godhead. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is part of the Godhead. Now, as I studied into this, different parts of the Bible become exciting to me. And so I want to take you to a bonus study here to finish up. To understand even why this is a big deal. Daniel chapter 7. This was brand new to me just this week. But I had to put this in here. It's sort of a wrap-up. It's sort of a story form of what I'm talking about and brings to life different parts of the Bible. Daniel has a vision. Chapter 7, Daniel dreams a vision. And in verse 9, Daniel says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down. As far as I could see, King James Version is the only one that says cast down. Everyone else says something to the fact of put in place, to set up. I think something got a little mixed up there in the King James Version. It doesn't seem to hold through. Even my footnotes would say to set in place. I beheld till the thrones were set in place, and the Ancient of Days, that's God the Father, the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. His throne. There was thrones set up, plural thrones, and Jesus is sitting on his throne, meaning that there is at least one empty throne. Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousand thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were open. And I beheld then... because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain, his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and time. Verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Now, giving my opinion on this, one like the Son of Man. The Son of Man has died and has resurrected, and he's in heaven. I'm not so sure that he's the Son of Man anymore. He is the Son of God, but is he still the Son of Man? One like the Son of Man came with the clouds. So this something like the Son of Man comes with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. All dominion is given to this like the Son of Man. Now another verse that I did not understand. It's in Mark. Mark 14, verse 60. Jesus is being tried. And the high priest stood up in their midst and asked Jesus, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it with these witnesses against thee?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man," the same Son of Man that we just like the Son of Man that we just heard about in Daniel, "ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, and coming in the clouds of heaven." I used to think this was talking about a second coming. I now think he's talking about judgment. What Jesus is saying to the high priest is, go ahead, do what you want to do now. You can accuse me, you can judge me, you can put me to death, but there's a day coming when you're going to be in front of my judgment seat. And I think the high priest understood it. I don't think I did. I didn't. I think the high priest did. Then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witness? This infuriated the high priest. So the Unitarians, those that want to tell you that there is only one God and the Jews did not understand, I think the Jews did full well understand. The high priest understood to the point that he was infuriated with Jesus' words and he tore his clothes and said, what need do we have any further witnesses? He's worthy of death. This is blasphemy. He's calling himself God. Mark 16, verse 19. Now his death has passed, and this is his ascension. So then, after the Lord has spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God, just as he said he was going to do. I'm going to go sit up the right hand of God. God the Father, I'm sitting right there. And in case you're still wondering anything, John 5:22, I won't turn there. But Jesus' words, the Father judgeth no man. It's committed to the Son. The Father judges no man. It's committed to the Son. Do you believe the words of Jesus? Revelations 22, verses 12 and 13. Jesus' words again. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I am God, is what Jesus is saying. He is not claiming to be something different than God the Father. He is God the Father. If he's God the Father, I mean, if he is God, if he's part of the Trinity, if he's part of God, then do you follow where I'm saying? Where we take Jesus and we try to separate him, pull him away from the Godhead, we lose so much. Jesus says, I am coming and I will judge. I am God. So to wrap up, to rest my case, Jesus was the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. Jesus is Lord and Jesus is coming again to judge all people and the high priest. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Trinity.